Welcome, everybody. Hey, hello, live people. That's what we love to see. Of course, if we don't knock off other people because they got poor internet connection. Hello, Dick, it's good to see you brush your hair before my eyes. Nice. Keeping it real. Well, I'd like to share with you a small story here, and welcome those who might be listening to the recording as well. A little blind boy was perched on a fourth floor balcony in a burning building in New York City. Who's been to New York City? Who's trying to avoid being in New York City? Firemen.
I've flown over it in a plane, but I've never been there.
Firemen had become desperate. They couldn't fit the ladder truck between the buildings to rescue him. They couldn't get him to jump into a net because he couldn't see it. Finally, his father turned up and he shouted through a bullhorn for the boy to jump when he commanded him to. Can you imagine it? How you have to be eyes for another person. Relieved at hearing his father's voice, the boy jumped immediately upon command. He landed safely and sound into the net without injury. He knew his father's voice and knew he could trust his father. In the same way, God has provided us powerful evidence of his great love for us. We can trust him and be assured he will take care of us now and into the future amidst the fiery storms and troubles of life. You've heard it said, and it's probably the equivalent of the secular world is 911, Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Nahum 1:7, we're told, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. And the last quote. In fact, I think I'll put it in the room just to read it with you all. Oops. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And I just realized none of you could see that because I didn't put share screen up. But thank you for following along. That's 1 Peter 1:18-21. I've chosen for tonight's song, which I will put in the room so you can read it. One I think everyone's heard at least once. And that is, let's see if I can find it with ease. Holy Spirit, faithful guide. You know, there's nothing we can do for God, Godspeed or Godwood without him. Holy Spirit, faithful guide. And for those who know the song, please feel free to take verse. Holy Spirit, faithful guide, ever near the Christian side. Gently lead us by the hand, pilgrims in a desert land. Weary souls for airy joys, while they hear that sweetest voice, whispering softly, wanderer, come, follow me, I'll guide thee home. Ever present, truest friend, ever near thine aid to lend. Leave us not to doubt and fear, groping on in darkness drear. When the storms are raging sore, hearts grow faint and hopes give o'er, whispering softly, wanderer, come, follow me, I'll guide thee home. When our days of toil shall cease, waiting still for sweet release, nothing left but heaven and prayer, wondering if our names are there. Wading deep the dismal flood, pleading naught but Jesus's blood, whispering softly, wanderer, come, follow me, I'll guide thee home. Amen. Aren't we blessed? And I think about the reality, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, who do you have? We need all the help we can get, and He has it all to give. Well, before we get to our study scriptures tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free, and thank you.
Yes, can you hear me fine? Most kind Father, and thank you once again this early morning here, evening over there, and the day in the other parts of the world. It's by your grace that you are living and you are breathing, that we have life to serve you and praise you. Lord, we thank you that you have prepared for us this online meeting, that we may share and fellowship together. Lord, that we may build each other as we listen from other one's story, how graceful you are unto us. We pray that you continue to be with us. Lord, may the blood of Jesus Christ be sprinkled unto us, that we may be sanctified by it and be fitted for heaven. Lord, we thank you that you bring pandemics in the world to teach us many things and how great we can hold on you, trusting in you fully. We thank you that you have gone ahead to lift lockdowns, location after location, that we people may learn of you. We thank you that we are here. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come and lead us in whatever we are going to share. We commit all those who are going to speak. May your word come onto their lips that they may talk to us the words of heaven that will save us from this world. Lord, we know we are in the very last days of this earth's history, but we are to give a living testimony when Christ comes, that he is merciful and graceful, loving and kind unto us. We pray that may you continue to reveal yourself unto us in all ways, that you may enlighten this world with your word. As we are going to study the words that were written in prophecy, Revelation 16, Lord, we thank you that you are able to open to us. Continue to open to us those wonderful prophecies that we may understand the time we are living in. That when Christ comes the second time, he may find very many to save waiting him. Lord, we thank you. Those who will wish to listen at a later time, open to them these prophecies. And those who are online, kindly send the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them in whatever they are learning right now. We thank you that you already listen to us. Even when we don't ask, you provide what is very necessary for us to stand in these very last days and in these days. We thank you. Continue to be with us. Continue to lead us. May the Spirit be always with us, in as much as we know that shortly your Spirit will be withdrawn in this world. Make us pillars of light in this world. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dearest Bray. Amen indeed. Well, we've reached chapter 16, and to review what we looked at, it's on the screen, of course. We were looking at the fact that in the last chapter, the seven plagues of the seven angels, while they're being fulfilled, no man, it says, is able to enter into the temple. And last week, I shared with you a thought regarding just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were together in this earth before sin, just as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were together at Mount Sinai, I put forth from that evidence, it would appear to me the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be together at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And of course, that was one of the questions asked, last week. Is there any, information, specifically that states it quite like that? And I couldn't find specifically the Holy Spirit mentioned, but there is, of course, ones that we're probably all familiar with, Mark 14:61-62, the significant statement that Jesus, when he was asked, he said, verse 62, he says, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. So he says, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now that would tell me someone's on his left, if he's on the right hand of power. Would you agree? If someone's on his right, you could say someone's on his left, but I think he's relating this to the Father. And of course, there's another statement on the same event, Mark 14:61-62. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then another from the Gospels, Luke 22:66-70. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into the council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. That's Luke 22:66-70. Now, there is an interesting statement I found interesting related to this, and it comes from, I've underlined the specifics. It's Signs and Times, January 17, 1900, paragraph 13. In fact, would someone like to read this for us?
By using their God-given faculty. Oh, go ahead. Ladies first.
Sorry. Okay. It says, by using your God-given faculties to cause suffering and distress to the Son of God, the priests and rulers decided their eternal destiny. They showed that they had chosen to stand on the side of the great apostate. When Christ comes to the second time, not as a prisoner surrounded by a rebel, will they see him? They will see him as heaven's king, surrounded by a fitting bodyguard. Christ will come in his own glory, in the glory of his Father, and in the glory of the holy angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels, the beautiful and triumphant sons of God, possessing surpassing loveliness and glory, will escort him on his way. Then the priests and rulers will remember distinctly the scene in the judgment hall. Every circumstance will appear before them as if written in letters of fire. Then the whole world will know and understand. They will realize who and what they, poor, feeble, finite human beings, have been warring against. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, thank you, dear sis. So you could see here in this one particular, and I'm sure there must be others, of course, we've just looked at the three Gospels, and one in particular talks about his own glory, which Sister Sheila just read, and the glory of his Father, and the glory of the holy angels, which is interesting because where did the angels get glory from? And my understanding would have to be from the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying the holy angels are the Holy Spirit, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit and represented by light. The Holy Spirit is represented in the, I think it's the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, where we get patriarchs and prophets regarding the Father, the Son, and then speaking of this, brilliant, dazzling light that surrounds both of them, which would seem to be the Holy Spirit, as it were, its effects, just like he moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis chapter 1, doing the commands of the Father with his Son in creation. Well, there was also another thing talked about last week, and that was, who was speaking in verse 1? And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Well, I thought I'd better look it up. I said it would appear to be the Father. So I did a bit of research and found this statement regarding, amen, represented as glory as well. The Holy Spirit represented as glory. So, and wouldn't that be fitting of the Holy Spirit to do that in the greatest event any of us will ever have ever seen yet? And that is the second coming of Jesus, the Father. So this is from 15 manuscript page 219.1 on the page, and it says, my imagination anticipated what it must be in that period when the Lord's mighty voice, because that she'd been in a storm, shall give commission to his angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So my understanding would be that that must be the Father. So she's clearly, it's not an angel to an angel, but Father to the angels. So that's roughly, we only did two verses last week, I believe. It's just so meaty. And if we have to ever go backwards, well, we have to go backwards if necessary. We want to go at the same pace and get as much as we can in these precious times of fellowship, just like we have the privilege when we have prophet prayer and study as well. So that brings us up to verse 2. And so I'll ask a brother or a sister to read that to us. Would someone like to read verse 2 for us? The first plague.
And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image.
Thank you, Lewis. I'm just trying to make it a bit more graphic. These people do not look happy in that image. Not happy at all. Very fearful indeed when you think this is actually going to happen, just like the plagues that came before. But notice they're called the seven last plagues. What does that tell us? So we know that, maybe I'll put this in the room. Sister Luz, could you read this quote? It's from The Great Controversy, page 628 for us. I'll just put it in the room.
When Christ ceases his intercession in the sanctuary, the unmingled wrath threatened against those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, will be poured out. The plagues upon Egypt, when God was about to deliver Israel, were similar in character to those more terrible and extensive judgments which are to fall upon the world just before the final deliverance of God's people. Great Controversy, page 628.
Thank you for that, sis. Notice that plagues are numbered. Notice that the first goes forth. The numerical designation, we would say, of each angel implies the plagues are successive, one after the other after the other. And noisome and grievous noisome isn't a word I don't think we tend to use here in Australia. But I looked up that word. Of course, commentary brings out it's painful and severe. So I looked up noisome in Strong's Concordance. It's number 2556, and it means depraved or injurious, bad, evil, harm, ill, noisome, wicked, you know, all the things you don't want. And grievous, number 4190 in the Greek, from the concordance, and it's hurtful, evil, calamitous, ill, diseased, etc. So quite not your ordinary sore, I suspect, awaits those who want to go against God's loving plan for their lives in obedience. And the term sore is from the Greek halkos, and it's an ulcer. And then it also means sore. Imagine that. Sore meaning sore. And it's by way of saying suppurating, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, suppurating, which is the undergoing of the formation of pus to fester discharge of a wound. The same word is used in the LXX Greek version of the Old Testament, which is used of the boils that befell the Egyptians, curiously, in Exodus 9, 9 and 10, of a botch that could not be healed in Deuteronomy 28, 27, of the threatening if disobedience were seen in the Israelites, and of the boils that came upon Job in Job 2, verse 7, which we'll recall was from the head to the toe that he suffered. And against that sore that was mentioned back there, the vaunted miracle-working power of the spirits now cooperating with apostate Christianity apparently proves unavailing. You remember they do, we looked at Revelation 13, verses 13 to 14, they're doing wonderful things that, you know, you don't see every day. They're spectacular. And these powers clearly, and they're also mentioned in chapter 19, verse 20 of Revelation and 18, too, apparently proves unavailing against curing it. There's no vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. The falsity of the claims that men base on the miracle working powers, because you can imagine the propaganda machine, well, here it would go, what it was claiming is demonstrated in the way that they cannot deny. So they really are, defeated in their miracles that they have done by the power of Satan. And we could say, I can't help but think it would be a lot like in Exodus 8:19, where the magicians said to Pharaoh, when they saw that they couldn't mimic the plague, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart, what did he do? His heart was hardened, unfortunately, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said he would do. So this is the very first installment of the wrath of God. And it falls upon those, as Sister Lucy just read, who failed to heed either the third angel's message, which warned them against worshipping the beast and his image, chapter 14, verse 9, or God's final call to come out of mystic Babylon, Revelation 18, 1 to 5. And as we could read, it's in Great Controversy 6:28, this plague is not universal. And, you know, it's interesting when you think, clearly these people have been warned. It was not unfair. There won't be people say, oh, but it wasn't fair. They've come to a point where, you know, unless you didn't live on the planet, which everyone does live on the planet, you had to have known what you're facing. You had to stand up for principle. Truth is truth. It's objective. It can't be changed. In fact, on the point that these plagues are not universal, why don't I bring that up in the room? Actually, I have two quotes. Perhaps a brother or sister might read that for us all. But before I put that on the screen, does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Excuse me.
Yes, me. So, Brother James, thank you for the research, but I kind of, it's true about all of them come down on the second coming of Christ, because I look at it as, like you say in Genesis, and it let us know that, let us make man. So that means it was plural. So all the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it says that after the seventh seal, silence. So that means all three gods, it will come down in the second coming. So yes, I do. So I could explain it to somebody else. Same thing. Thank you.
Yeah, amen, sis. It's amazing. I'm talking to a fellow He's been a separationist for over 30 years, and I suspect some of you here will know him. And his name's Rob Stevanov. And, yeah, he's very convinced about something about the Godhead that I can't defend. So I've tried to share with him some statements. I mean, there's so many in the scriptures. We don't, you know, Ellen White was a plagiarist. She got it from the Bible. Praise the Lord. You know, there's just the reality about the Holy Spirit is just so significant for us as Christians to be Christians in the first place. It's so serious, isn't it? It deals with our salvation. A misunderstanding, it's not going to be a good one. It's not going to be a good outcome. We keep them in prayer who really, in some ways, believe Abinity and then Abinity to Trinity after the incarnation of Jesus. That's where our brother is at this point in time. So I have a quote from Great Awesome. Hi, sis. How are you?
Good, and hello to everyone else. Good evening and happy good. Hello to everyone. So.
Greetings. Glad you could be here with us. Yes, amen, sis. That is very concerning. They leave one fanaticism and head off to another fanaticism. The devil's not slow, very active. Would someone like to read these two quotations on this verse that we've looked at from the Spirit of Prophecy?
These plagues are not universal, or the inhabitants of the earth would be wholly cut off. Yet they will be the most awful scourges that have ever been known to mortals. All the judgments upon men prior to the close of probation have been mingled with mercy. The pleading blood of Christ has shielded the sinner from receiving the full measure of his guilt. But in the final judgment, wrath is poured out unmixed with mercy. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the pestilence that walketh by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Psalm 121:5-7, 91:3-10, from Great Controversy 629, paragraph 4.
Thank you, dear sis. Powerful, isn't it? Wonderful promise. So I think we're going to find as we go through the plagues, something's making me think, along with other studies in the past, that each of the seven last plagues are addressing an enemy or an evil or a sin. And a particular sin, which reminds us, perhaps it reminds you of vials that were against the gods like Egypt. and the plagues that came upon them, that it specifically dealt with something to show them, not because God was saying, ha-ha, but trying to awaken them to the realization, no, they really are false gods. Idols can't breathe, they can't smell, they can't walk, they can't talk, they can't help, can't do anything. They're useless. That's what they are. So that they could have an experience with the living God who created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. So we have here what would be the enemy in the first plague. You've got a sin that's specifically mentioned, and that's the men which had the mark of the beast, which we know the mark of the Catholic Church is Sunday keeping, the change, the only commandment that has God's name, his title, creator, and the dominion that he rules over, heaven and earth. Well, another God on earth, the Pope, claiming dominion over heaven, earth, and hell. A third. Because he believes it exists right now, and it's burning right now. And that he has dominion over heaven and earth. So he believes. And it's also them, of course, that worshipped his image. So some, because not everyone's affected, otherwise they wouldn't live to see the effects of receiving the mark of the beast and worshipping his image. So some of all the world's inhabitants that have received Sunday worship now have literal marks, sores upon them. They do now have literal marks, sores upon them, expressing the defilement that they have received spiritually in allying themselves with the man of sin, with a command that has no higher authority than a sinful man, than a sinful institution above God's word. It's thought-provoking, isn't it? Does anyone have anything they'd like to share before we move on to the next verse?
Yes, well, there's no one will be able to help you when you receive that punishment from God. If you accept the mark of the beast, there's nothing anyone can do for you about it.
That is very true. That's why we must prepare so we can stand. And it reminds me of a psalm, a song I'm sure you're familiar with. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and of the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm chapter 91, verses 1, 2, 3. Oh, you do know that. Of course you do. I'm singing to the choir. It's a precious promise, isn't it? You can imagine those who get to live in that time. They're not having a party. They're not going, oh, well, I told you. You know, those who are lost and you can see they've got sores. But they're praising God that they're in Christ Jesus, and by his help they'll get through the time of trouble safely. I think I've already asked that question. So on to verse 3. Who would like to read the next verse? The honor of reading the second of the seventh the seven last plagues.
And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. I guess the fish can't live in blood either. Maybe there's no oxygen. Wow. Now, what did I do? Clicked out of the room.
Thank you, dear bro. Now, that's a good question. I mean, obviously they're dead, and you think, I think what Brother Dick's saying seems to make sense. I mean, if you miraculously, all the sea is red as blood. It says that it became as the blood of a dead man. That would seem to be quite literal. And you know that doesn't smell very nice. Yes, that's right. Sister Jones onto it. That's right. It will stink terribly. That's right. Now, there's been one view that's been put forth that the sea could be representing primarily, because it represents primarily a highway for international commerce and travel. It's been suggested that by the obstruction of international travel and trade, you know, with the everything dying in it, you can imagine the whales will be there as well, largest mammals on earth, that it would obstruct the international travel and trade, which we read about, such as the trade in Revelation 13, verses 13 to 17, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, chapter 17, verses 3 and 12, and, of course, almost the whole chapter of chapter 18, dealing with what they cannot no longer do. Although that's later on, that's true. It's relating to the first beast of Revelation 13. But this plague is designed to demonstrate, perhaps, in a signal way, God's displeasure with respect to Satan's plan to bind the nations of earth together under his control. Remember, he tried to do that at the Tower of Babel. And, you know, he had a great deal of success. No other organization but the Catholic Church could have a one world order like they did in controlling Europe, Africa. True, they didn't. The control of the whole world like we know it today was not quite theirs, but you can be sure that's what the plan ever was. And in great deal, it's more reciprocated in history in the European nations, of course, and Africa and beyond to certain extents. But none other have had that experience of, you know, one world politics, one world economy, one world educational system, and a one world religion with a one world worship day than the papacy has had over a millennium or 1260 days/years, as the prophet Daniel and John bring out in the book of Revelation. And just like the first plague, like Sister Lucy just read, Great Controversy, page 628, the second is not universal. And, you know, it's interesting here. We've got the soul. It died. And it's used of an animal life as well as human life. It comes from the Greek psuch, P-S-U-C-H-E. Souls die. Did you notice that? Souls die. Although it's not the first time mentioned. In fact, let me put it up on the screen. I know you're all familiar with these verses, but some really specific when people say, oh, no, souls don't die. No, no, they don't die. And then you show them these quotes from the Old Testament. They become quite enlightening. Would someone like to read that to us? Thank you.
Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of his Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Ezekiel 18:20.
Amen. Oh, thanks for bringing that to my attention too, Sister Joan. Of course, the blood of a dead man doesn't have any oxygen, and if it's to be taken literally, where's the oxygen? Nowhere. Even the poor clownfish that can do some amazing things that other fish can't do will be involved. So again, I put forth the thought, each of the seven last plagues address an enemy, an evil or a sin, vials against their God, just like Egypt and the plagues that came upon them. Now I'd asked, what could the one be here that's being tabled? You've got an enemy, evil or sin possibility. And I thought of, could it be representative of the blood that has been shed all over the world? Of course, we read in the last verse of chapter 18 of Revelation that the Babylon the Great has been guilty of it from the beginning. That's quite a statement. And I was thinking, like the seas of blood, it's been shed all over the world. And I thought of the quote, of course, from Revelation 20 verse 4, where it says, "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus," says John, "and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their heads." Why don't I put that in the room so you can read with me? In fact, why don't I ask someone to read it for us? So I was thinking of this quotation in relation to the second plague. Would someone like to read that for us?
"And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 24.
Amen, dear sis. You know, I get actual comfort from that, because I know that God wouldn't allow us to be one of those people if he didn't think we were ready for it. So the grace will be supplied just as we need it. There's no point having grace for that 20 years down the track, but it'll be, God will be working toward that end if it can bring in more glory. And so we don't have anything to fear if we're a part of this group. And think about it, it's not just America we're talking about here that's putting this forth, is it? It's really worldwide. And that's where I got the idea, like the seas, you know, you've got the seven seas covering all over the world. It's almost prophetic in a way, because of course seas do represent multitudes, nations, people and tongues. But I think we're going to find, I found a different answer as I was looking at this in the morning, and I thought, oh yeah, that does make more sense of it. But I couldn't pinpoint exactly what this could be related to until I got to verse, the next plague. But so what are your thoughts? Any questions, any comments on verse 3?
People are worried what's coming upon this earth that's in the world are very frightened right now, because rent, food, and everything is going up very high.
That's very true. I know there's some that want to spiritualize the plagues to where it's not like a literal boil or literal blood and so on. And one thing that has helped me in this area is when you look at the 10 plagues there on Egypt, they were literal plagues, but yet each plague was targeting a specific belief of the people. Like with the Nile, they believed the Nile was a god, and thus the Lord was showing that he was greater than the Nile god by turning the entire Nile red as the blood of a dead man. So when you look at the seven last plagues, you have boils going out, that's a direct affront against the medical system who believes that they can cure anything, and you have to go to them as a god, if you will, for healing. And then with the oceans being turned to blood, and, you know, it's not universal. It may start in one and then spread, you know, but there's a lot of individuals who earn their livelihood from the ocean, and they basically worship the god of nature, you know, the Poseidon, if you will, the god of the sea, to grant them safe voyages, to give them a bountiful harvest of fish and so on. And so you see that even though the plagues are literal, there's an aspect to it that is attacking a common belief among those who worship the beast and his image, or those who do not worship the god of nature. The God who created nature, not nature as a God. But it's quite interesting. You know, and if you think about it, if it's the blood like a dead man, then that blood is coagulated. So how are ships going to be able to propel themselves through a mess of jelly? You know, they're going to, so it's going to bring the economic system of the world down to its knees, because transport on ships and barges and so on is the lifeblood of a lot of countries.
Yeah, when you said it's attacking the gods or the beliefs of people, you have to think of all the people that believe in evolution, that life started in the sea.
Amen. Very good points, sister and brother. That's they're very good points. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned also the Nile god, because of course that's what affected, that was the first plague on Egypt, helping the people see that their gods were useless. But he's so kind, God, how he does it to explain it to them, how he goes about trying to woo them. You know, they didn't have to cop it to the tenth, but and some Egyptians indeed, out of fear, accepted that no, this is the true God, and you've got the mixed multitude. But it was saving in effect the way that God worked with them. And you know, it's interesting too to say that the people who are behind the deaths of like Revelation 20 verse 4, there's multitudes are going to be guilty for not even shedding blood by way of, you know, those that have condemned the people of God to death by law, but they haven't done it yet. They've incurred that guilt as well for their blood, as if they'd already been shed, because they would have done it if they could, but God intervenes. So that's another, what would you say? That's added to the multitude by 144,000 on to their account as murderers. And what a great point you mentioned, dear sis, about evolution, belief that, you know, life came from the sea. That is very interesting. There must be so many, and thank you, dear brother Bob, bringing out, you know, there must be so many avenues to look at these plagues and see what is God trying to say in them. I'm sure it just looks so deep, and trying to find anything on the spirit of prophecy, there's not a whole lot said on the actual statements, on the specific statements, but I'm sure with a little bit more digging, which obviously you've all done, you can dig further and find out the meaning behind them. Well, perhaps we've got time for another plague. How do you like that? Are you trying to put us off for the evening, brother? Or do I leave it there? We've got about 4 minutes. Well, yeah, maybe we can fit it in. I think we'll fit it in. Why don't we, would someone like to read the, actually, I might leave that for next week. Might leave that for next week because that carries on into some more detail on a couple of other things. Does anyone, so I'll leave it there and for verse 4 we'll pick it up for the third plague. Does anyone have anything further they want to share on what we looked at so far? Go right ahead.
It's like everything the people depended upon instead of God was attacked and overthrown in the 10 plagues. And it seems to be a reoccurring theme in the 7 plagues. And it's sort of reminiscent of when the flood came, Ellen White brought out that the antediluvians were making their houses into their fortresses. They were spending every bit of time beautifying their homes and adding gems and jewels and other rooms and expensive wood and so on. Those homes became their gods. And Ellen White talks about when the floodwaters rose, God kept those people alive so that they could see the destruction of their homes, of their gods, basically. And then after that, of course, you know, their lives were taken. So it almost seems to be a reoccurring theme in the 10 plagues of Egypt and now in the 7 last plagues here.
So we do have an example. We could go back and look at it in Exodus. The same thing, like Moses the mediator, Christ the mediator. It's just the same. It's like an example. We could learn from it.
Amen and amen. It made me think, why did he choose the sore first as the first play? I was just thinking something you said earlier, dear bro, Bob. You know, they do believe in pharmakia. They do believe there's a certain way you should live, and that is with the help of drugs in general. And I was just thinking, isn't it interesting, you know, you've got a sore that they can't cure, just like things they don't cure today. They deal with the symptoms and not the cause. And I'm not saying that about everyone, but they're just, if they had a cure for something, there's going to be no business after the cures, as one or many have aptly put. But it's fascinating. It does seem to have to do with their health. You know, some aspect of, you know, I'm invincible for whatever I do. And then they got this sore and it's hurting them. As we looked at the definition of that sore, it's grief. It's not just there. It's not like, it's not a scab. It's hurting. There's pain involved. People are knowing about it. And while not everyone have it, they see, like you mentioned about the individuals who did not get on the ark, they see the consequences, what they were trusting in and how it can't save them whatsoever. It's not saving these people who did the same thing I did with the mark of the beast. They're not No doubt the next plague affects them if they don't have the first plague upon them, perhaps. This is deep.
You wonder if they'll mandate a lockdown for everyone that has that. Gotta wear a mask.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
People think life will get back to normal and it will not.
Yeah, there seems to be a grab for control. Nothing new under the sun in that aspect.
As a kind of a solemn warning / future, Ellen White talks about those ministers that were influential in steering people away from keeping the Sabbath and receiving the mark of the beast. She goes that they will suffer every one of the plagues. So they'll be alive through them all, 1 through 7. And their suffering is 10 times greater than the suffering of those who they misled. So, yeah, that's definitely would not want to be in their shoes, not one bit.
Yeah, amen. And you see it going on right before our eyes, but let's see if we can save who we can. Be a saving influence upon them yet. What if you think about people that appear incorrigible. They appear like, you know, you might be tempted to think that person's privation, I wonder if it's existing anymore. Is it over? But yet, imagine them as converted individuals. The influence they'd have, people would be watching everything they do, seeing the miracle that God is performing because they said, come in, Holy Spirit, and take self while you're there. Take my sins. I want them no more. Imagine their evangelistic witness, greatest miracle of all, conversion. Well, so we'll leave it there for this week and pick it up on plague number 3. How's that sound like for something to look forward to? But it's because there's hope we read it. I know when you give away books like the Great Controversy, oh, I've got enough controversies in life. Oh, yes, but have you got any hope in it? You say, oh, what's it about? Well, it's about history and it repeating in our time. People being on the right side of it and people being on the wrong side of it. People standing up for the wrong, people standing up for the right. What it looks like and how we can be preparing for it today. I was blessed to be able to give away about 20 great controversies and had a number of talks to some interesting individuals, which was a real blessing. I was going to go out today. I'm not ruling it out 100%, but I'm impressed to thank you for keeping it in prayer with us to file an unfair dismissal with my employer and what exactly, how to state it in legal terms and why it's unfair and what I think would be fair remuneration. So that, I don't know how long that will take. and I don't want it to take long. But Lucy's helped me with her dear son, and my sister has a bit of info because both they lost their job and they're dealing with the same issue as well. And I want to thank God. I praise God. It's the first time I've paid the least rent so far because I still have a poor amount of electricity and nothing's been done about it. And so I've acted on, I'm sure the landlord hasn't said anything yet, so I'm paying less rent. So that was great. That's really good. Unfortunately, next week, I won't be here because I'm seeking legal aid, and the appointment is smack bang on the time when we would have the appointment. I mean, we'd have the meeting. So I'm asking dear brother Bob, if he's available, of course, to take over. Perhaps you'll have another question and answer time. There's no shortage of questions. And thankfully, by God's grace, no shortage of answers. Yeah, it's unfortunate, right? Smack bang on that time. And I hope something good comes out of this for the future of God's cause. Does anyone have any praises, prayer requests, any testimonies, any songs, song requests they have before we open it up to a season of prayer?
I want to thank the Lord for protecting me for earthquakes that's been coming so often now because of the unsettled weather we're having around the world. I just thank him for keeping me, protecting me, and that I'm also in the right place at the right time for these earthquakes that have been occurring frequently.
If we could remember Bonnie and Bob in prayer. I went to school from the first grade on with Bonnie. She's the same age as me. That would be 84. And I think her husband is around the same age. He was working as a driver to bring food to people who ordered from a restaurant to their home, and his car broke down, and the mechanics say it's going to cost $3,700 to fix it. And I guess it's because it's a Honda with some kind of a super something or other in the car. Anyway, they don't have the money, and Bonnie fell. She had a stroke about 2 years ago. She ended up falling and breaking her thumb. They're on their way to the emergency room, so they had to call a lift to help get them there. But without his car, they can't supplement their Social Security income. And Bonnie's got a lot of health problems. So I mentioned to her that we would be praying for them tonight, and she was very thankful for that. They do believe in God. They're Christians. And they do believe in prayer. So thank you very much. I know she will be very happy to know that they were remembered in prayer.
I want to praise the Lord for his merciful kindness, his overruling providence, and for hearing and answering prayers.
Good evening. I also want to thank God for helping us, that the COVID has lowered down to low levels. Since the starting of schools, we've not had the many children fall sick, and therefore, the government has lifted all lockdown, all restrictions, and we are now free to move out and do whatever we want. So I praise God for that. Thank you for your prayers.
Amen. And thank you for sharing that there, bro. That's wonderful news. And indeed, we will keep you and the progress over there and Sister Jones, dear longtime friends, in prayer with you all. What a blessing, Sister Chaka. You lived through so many earthquakes. My, I don't even know what those things are, except when I used to live in Kalgoorlie, but they were man-made earthquakes, blasting for gold. Praise the Lord, right place, right time. A song comes to mind. Perhaps some others know it. I think it's called My Life, My Love. No, I'll live for him. I'll live for him. My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me. My Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I'll trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Amen. Amen. Well, shall we have a season of prayer? If anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free to do so, and I shall go first. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of getting to talk with other brothers and sisters in the faith. And to get to know better something of your justice from the point of view that love involves justice. And there's no love story than that revealed in giving your all in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing the little that we do know. I pray we will have it added to us that will specifically help ourselves and others in keeping step with our dear Savior in this dark world that we live in. Thank you that it's not dark when thy presence is near and with and abiding. Thank you for making things bright with hope and assurance and giving us confidence in thy word, because we know thy character and the way in which you've dealt with the children of men. Thank you so much for blessing us with the news of the lifting of restrictions in Canada. I pray more and more governments around the world will come to their senses and not be biased and prejudiced, or bribed for that matter, to believe a story and an agenda following when they know that it has to yield the truth, where it does not allow for the truth to get in the way of a so-called good story. We uphold Bonnie and Bob in a different new issue. I think it was Bonnie and Bob that were having difficulties a while ago finding a place to live, and we thank you after years in their new place that they found that place. And now, as they have a real dilemma in terms of travel and the doing of the everyday things, that you would provide for them in this area. And at the same time, their spiritual growth will continue. That the things of God, the promises of God, will become that much richer. And as I say this on their behalf, I say it for every one of us. The issues, the problems that we might face today or tonight, that we'll see that as more of a reason to trust you, so we have a fresh experience in trusting you rather than doubting you or looking for anything other than trust to exercise our time now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it possible to be worked by you, to have our exercise, our minds exercised in the way of the Lord and after the Lord. Thank you for protecting our dear sister Chaka and other brothers and sisters from calamities such as earthquakes, and putting praise on our lips and a song, I should say, praise and a song on our lips for the redemption in temporal matters in harmony with the redemption in spiritual and moral matters. Continue to be with dear brethren and sisters that have any form of pain, physical pain, that's stopping them from doing what you would have them do. Perhaps it's overwork. Bless them to catch up on precious rest. Bless them to know how and what it is they're suffering, and to be blessed in what you've shown them works. Give them perseverance. Help them increase in health in every area of their life. And thank you for allowing us to meet new people to talk about the truth, which inevitably leads to you, God, the preserver of it, the God of truth, as the Bible calls it. We wish our brethren and sisters all the sleep that they need as they get ready for bed. Thank you for answering our prayers in such a way, in the fact that we are limited by time, that you are not, but you know this. And the ways in which you do certain things peculiarly for us to see, hear, and sense with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We look forward to coming together again online and for any offline meetings, even if it's just one. Your Spirit is promised with the guardian angel to be there to glorify you in word and deed. And thank you for doing this. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, it is with hearts full of gratitude that we come before you at this time with so many wonderful blessings to thank you for that we are quite overwhelmed. Firstly, we give thanks as always for being able to gather together with our online family. Even though we are separated by great physical distances, we do feel the joy of being able to worship together. This is a very special blessing for those of us who don't have family or work colleagues we can share this with. We know that all of these blessings come directly from you, even though we are often quite undeserving, and we pray that we may work even harder at becoming more effective doers of your word, and that we may show this by the way we live our lives, letting your light shine through us. We thank you also that nothing can take your love from us, and what enormous gratitude we feel for this, plus the security of knowing that you are with us always, as long as we continue to believe, of course. This must surely be one of the greatest blessings, Lord, of all the great blessings that you continually bestow on us. In conclusion, we pray that nothing will hinder us in our worship, and we thank you for hearing our humble prayer, which we offer in the name of your dear Son. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can talk to you and pour out our heart, and that you understand, that you already know what we're going to talk about, and that you give us answers. And in talking with you, we have less stress. We have less problems with self. We have more joy in our lives, and we have more hope. Thank you, dear Lord, for our brothers and sisters who could come and share with us this evening their hopes and joys and experiences. Thank you for the words that came through Sister White. The understanding, help us to understand things in the Bible that we may not understand. Thank you for the internet that allows us to all come together, no matter where we are, to share with one another and to receive a blessing. Be with each one of us. Thank you for waking us up this morning. And thank you for the blessings that you give us all day long and the protection. Be with those who have the day ahead of them. Keep the guardian angels around them and protect them. Be with us who need to sleep. Help us sleep well and restful. And wake us up again tomorrow morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, dear sisters and brethren. Well, is there any last thoughts, anything left on brothers and sisters' minds they'd like to share before we ask our dear brother Dick to send us away on a hymn?
Yes, keep my aunt in prayer that had to go to the hospital this week. She has 10 days in the hospital. They would like for her to stay for 10 days. She had had problems with her intestines near her stomach, so continue to keep her in prayer. Continue to. Well,
will do. We will do. Well, as usual, it's been a privilege, a blessing to be with you all. Won't be long. We'll be Sabbath hours, Lord willing. We'll all be there. And even more, brothers and sisters. Excuse me. Dustin, yeah. Until we meet again, keep looking up and stay faithful to the truth as it is in Jesus. Hugs and love.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.